that will travel. Those of you in your 70s and 80s, you really appreciate that phrase there. All right. Well, I am so glad that you are here today, and I want you to go ahead and take your Bibles and open up to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. I sure do appreciate all the hard work that Pastor Dan and all those who are involved, the musicians and the actors, and everyone who was a part of this morning. You know, over the years, believe it or not, I've had the opportunity to be in Easter programs. Usually I'm in the very back, though, somewhere, blowing a horn. But every once in a while, when they don't remember what I did the last time they put me on stage, they put me up front. And it can be difficult and challenging. In fact, Easter programs are full of surprises. Now, I don't know if you heard about old five-year-old Billy. He was asked to recite, be part of the church's Christmas program, and decided, okay, he's 5 years old, we're going to go ahead and give him a short line, all right? So they took it from Luke 24, verse 6, he is not here, he is risen. Okay, we can handle that, five-year-old Billy, we're good. We've got a month to practice, so we'll go ahead and every day, he is not here, and he is risen. But as you can imagine, if you have ever had to come up on stage and speak publicly, you literally can forget your name. And so that kind of is what happened to old Billy. Billy got up here, and he stood, and he looked down in the crowd, and he just went. Now, I'm not throwing stones, because I can understand, and if you've ever played an instrument or sang or anything like that, it could be intimidating for that to happen. Well, the director was close behind. These things happen. They understood all that. And so the director kind of whispered in Billy's ear the line, okay, he is not here. He is risen. And so Billy was now confident. He got it. Came right back to his head. He grabbed that mic, and he stood right in there, and he said, he is not here. He is in prison. Easter programs can be full of surprises. Yep. Well, you know, that's all right, Billy. Billy, wherever you are, we're going to get it straight today. We're going to try to work this thing out here. All of us, we all need to get getting straight at time from time. Amen. You and I do the same way as Billy does. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is not in prison, okay? You need to take that out of your mind and say, oh, what, preacher, are you saying Jesus is in prison? No, Jesus is not there. No, he's alive. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. In fact, Jesus is waiting. He's waiting for the Father, his daddy, to say, okay, now, it's time to go get those folks. Go get the family. It's time to bring them home. And you don't have to tell old Gabriel. He's been warming up his trumpet for a couple thousand years now. And he's just waiting for that. So when the Lord says, it's time to go, we're going to hear that trumpet blow. And those who are dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. All why? Because Jesus is alive. In Billy's defense, I think that he actually kind of spoke a little truth. Well, let me share with you what I mean by that. At Jesus' ministry on earth, you know, he had his ministry as he was a child, and then he had his teaching ministry. And then, of course, we have just walked through this whole week of the Passion, the Via Dolorosa, his death, burial, resurrection. And Jesus did, according to the prophet, set prisoners free. Right? I mean, here's what Isaiah said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Listen to this. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. So Billy was close. He's all right. He's all right. I wonder maybe if we could just amend, have a business meeting here right now, and just amend Billy's blooper a little bit here to say, he's not here. he's in prison, which is what he said, to he's not here, he's busting people out of prison. Do I have a second on that? Anybody, all in favor, say amen. Amen, amen. That's right. So here he is. The Lord is definitely a risen Savior busting people out of prison. Now, I don't know what you are here today in all your situations. You might be in a prison. It might be a prison where you haven't come to the place where you're trusting Christ alone as your Savior. You need to do that. I mean, that's the most important decision you can make. All this doesn't mean anything if you don't know the Savior, the one behind it. But there's a lot of us who have trusted the Savior. And life sometimes, by our choices or circumstances that we don't always respond well to, we find ourselves in other prisons. Prisons of our own making. Prisons of sin. Prisons of fear. Prisons of a lack of trust or anxiety. And all these things that build up. Prisons of anger. Prisons of just remorse. And all those things can build up. And we find ourselves there. I got good news for you too. Jesus here is to bust you out of prison. And he will do it if you will just believe. Now, the title of the message this morning is Keep On Believing, but I really would like to amend that. I didn't like it when I gave it to the ladies in the office, but I said, well, you know, they got to have something. So it sounds pretty good, Keep On Believing. But I thought maybe I could amend it to this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep on believing Jesus. Now, to do this, we're going to turn our thoughts to a passage you probably don't hear much on Easter. But I think it's a very important part of the whole story. We always look at the front, the leading up to it, then we look at the week, and then we look at the day. But there's more to the story than just that. There's the other side as well. All right? So if you got your Bibles there to John 20, or if you don't have your Bibles with you and you have it memorized, we're going to start in verse 24. And as if you're not there in 24, I'll give you just a second. The scene is playing here. This is like right after the resurrection. And Christ appears to the 12. Thomas isn't there. And I kind of think Thomas gets a bad rap. We're going to get to that in a minute. But Luke includes this story. He's really doing that to instruct us on how believers, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is alive and has validated everything that he has taught, that we can believe in him and we can keep on believing. As is once said, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen? Amen. Let's start in verse 24 of John 20. Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Okay, before we go on, I'm going to cut him a little slack here. I think you can too. You ever said anything you regret? We won't make you say it. You ever wish you'd have said something and you regret not saying it that you should have said? It's both sides of that coin, isn't there? Yeah, we're all there. And this is very emotional. Can we all agree it was kind of an emotional week for the disciples? Just a little bit up and down. And everybody, as you know, you put 12 people in a room, you're going to get 12 different emotional responses at times. Now, they might be kind of grouped a little bit, but they're all going to respond differently. And here's the Thomas, he's just blurting it out. Now, I got to tell you, there was a church, I'm not going to say which church, maybe this one, maybe another, but someone called, Dawn and I were driving in the car, and they called us on the phone, and a great couple, love them to death, and they were sharing something, it was a very emotional situation, and we said, okay, and it was wonderful, and we got done with the conversation, and he said goodbye. And we said, okay, thanks, we're praying, and we're going to continue to pray for you. And he thought he hung up the phone. And so for the next 30 seconds, Dawn and I got another kind of story. But that's okay. Actually, I thought, thank the Lord that everything that I've ever said hasn't been blasted over someone's radio or TV or phone. Now, I'm not putting those folks down because I think we all have been there at times and are so glad that not everything has been recorded. Old Thomas's story got recorded. What do you think about that? I mean, this is a private conversation, you would think. It's just a bunch of guys in a room, right? Or your friends. Private conversation. The Lord said, I think I want that story in there. Let's go ahead and put it. So he does, but it wasn't so much to nail Thomas. I think it was to make a point here. And he's real strong about this. I will never believe. So he's upset. Okay, we can all get that. And by the way, the bad rap, you do know, if you don't, he's Doubting Thomas is what he's been known by. You ever been given a nickname growing up? Verse 26, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them this time, because the first time, Thomas wasn't there, right? We don't know why, it's not never said, but now he is. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. All right, maybe the first group of guys had seen that before, so they didn't jump 12 feet in the air. But I bet for Thomas, that was quite the experience. And he says, peace be with you. Then he turns to Thomas. Okay, put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it on my side. I don't know how long that took. In fact, I don't even know if Thomas actually did it. He might have been so terrified he wasn't going to get 5 feet near Jesus. But he heard him say it, and then Jesus makes this statement, thus the title of the message, do not disbelieve, but believe. Believe! And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. What are we going to do with this? Well, I want to give Thomas his due and also give us a challenge about how the power of the resurrection can change our lives. In the Gospel of John, Thomas shows up three times. Three times. The first time he shows up, we find him in John 11. And in John 11, they had just come from some ministry where, frankly, what happened was Jesus and the disciples got kind of run out of town. He was ministering, and the Jews got very upset, and they were going to stone him. In fact, they got to the place where they were so angry with Jesus and his teaching, the truth, that they said, let's go. So they pick up the stones, and the scripture says that he was able to get away. So they got away. So this is the place, this is around Jerusalem, where this takes place. And now we have a situation where Lazarus is dying, and Jesus says, we're going to go back there. Now you can imagine, you just came from that place, and they pretty much wanted to kill you. And so you're marked, and there's a contract out for you, and you really going to go back? And so that's kind of the disciples. If you read John 11, that's kind of their interaction. Lord, that didn't turn out so good the first time. That's my paraphrase. Maybe we should consider something else. And actually, Thomas shows great courage in the middle of all this. Out of all of them, I love it, the Lord had this recorded. It says, he stands up and he says, let us also go, guys. Let's get on it and go. That we may die with him. Okay. Y'all remember Barney Fife? Yeah, it's a Barney Fife moment to me. So Barney, there were some guys just on the edge of town in the truck, and they had some produce they were selling. The two of them, they weren't supposed to be selling anything at all. And so he sees them, and he walks up to them and says, guys, you can't do that. The vendors in town don't appreciate it, and it's against the laws anyway. You got to be out of the county area for that to happen. So he asked them to move. Of course, they scared him to death. You remember that? He goes running out of there, and he goes back to the office, and he's acting really strange and scared, and he wants to do everything but go out on patrol. Of course, Andy finds out about everything. He spends this whole time, in fact, the whole series, trying to fix Barney. But anyway, Andy finds out about it, Sheriff, and he tries to he's trying to figure out what happened. He finally finds out what's going on, and he says, you're going to have to do, he gives him the speech without letting him know and telling him what to do, that as an officer of the law, you know, you represent a lot of people. You have the power, the authority to do this, and you just go out and do it. So he decides he's going to get up his courage and go out there and do it. But the cool thing about it was he did it. And he was there the whole time, wasn't he? Y'all remember that? He was hiding, so he couldn't see, but he was back there. And so I'm thinking about this because, you know, and the guys, he finally stood up to him and they left. And he did his job and he really grew. And so I think when we think about the power of the resurrection, it's calling for you and I because Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the resurrected Lord. Jesus and what he taught is true. You and I can have courage way beyond ourselves to be able to do all that he calls us to do. He gives us courage. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so he's teaching these guys a lesson that you can do that. What about you and me? Because in life, you know, you and I have all kinds of circumstances that are scary, that are difficult, that are hard to do. And running away to the office and finding things to do other than what Christ called you to do is not the answer. That's not why he came to earth and died on the cross and rose again. He didn't do that so that you could just be saved and walk around like Linus all the time, scared and shivering and grabbing his blanket, right? You want to be that kind of a person. That's not what it's for. He has given you power. In fact, he promised, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit and you will have the power to be able and the courage to be able to do what I've called you to do. Yes, he might call you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And yes, you might actually have to walk through that with other people that you love dearly. And maybe those you don't even love necessarily or know, but you see it and it's sad, or it might be you. And maybe he pulls you out of that. Maybe he does. Maybe he pulls your loved one out. And maybe he chooses not to do that. Do you have the courage to face that? The empty tomb gives you that. The resurrected Christ gives you the ability and the courage to face those things you don't want to do. It gives you the courage to stand up and say, Lord, you've forgiven me. I can forgive others. It says, Lord, you've had people that have poured into my life. I'm going to pour and invest in the life of others. It says, for that person, I don't know who it was, if you're a believer here today and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he has given them the courage to share with you. You were gloriously saved by Christ. In the same way, he says, you too can go and share Christ with others. That's what the resurrection does. And maybe right now, all of us have fallen a little bit into the Barmy Fife. We're thinking, I'm not sure that I could do that. I can tell you on the third authority of God's word and Thomas's experience, not only can you do it, you can do it in the power of God and be massively influential and successful for the glory of God as you share this gospel. So there's things that might paralyze you in life. But remember, faith is that victory that overcomes the world. What is that? Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and keep on believing. We don't keep on believing as Christians so that we're continually saved. We are saved once for all. But we keep on believing so that we can continually grow in faith and knowledge of Christ. That's Thomas's first story. The second one comes up in John 14. That's a familiar passage. If you've been to any funerals, most likely it's been read. It's usually read at a funeral. Here we find Thomas being inquisitive. He's talking about some strange things. I mean, Jesus told some stories. If you and I were there the first time we heard it, we'd probably be going, what in the world is he talking about? And so he's saying, look, I'm going to go a place and prepare a place for you. And where I go, a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, you can be also. Nobody says a thing. Now, come on now. I've been a teacher long enough to know it doesn't matter what the subject is. If I got a group of students in there, there's going to be some of them that have absolutely no idea just what happened. None at all. And so what's going on then? I think Thomas is just, you know, he's got courage. We already know that. He's one of those guys that says, I got a question. Now, I got to tell you the truth. This is a confession. For the early part of my educational life, I know you might find this hard to believe, but it's usually only during the teaching time. I didn't say much or do much. I never raised my hand. I was afraid to raise my hand. I don't know why I didn't raise my hand. Maybe I thought everybody else knew it and I was supposed to know it. Maybe it was a pride issue. Of course, as a kid, you don't necessarily use the word pride. You just don't want to be embarrassed or whatever, right? So you don't say anything. And I learned the hard way that was really stupid. Questions aren't bad. Questions can be good. And so I have this whole thing about, well, I'm not going to do that. Well, I figured it out that it was not only bad, it was harming me. And along the way, through patience and prayer and people saying, hey, did you ask your professor? Did you ask your teacher? And I finally started doing it, and things started working out better. I finally got it to where I had no problem raising my hand. In fact, as I got into graduate school and everything, the first thing I did, I looked at my courses and I said, okay, this is fine. Fine. These two courses, yikes. And so I found out, I went to the professor, I said, before the first class, I want to know who the tutors are. And I want to know when they meet. And even if I understood all those Greek lessons and those Hebrew lessons, I went anyway. Because I guarantee you, I missed something. And it was probably something important. And they're going to help put it together. And guess what tutors love? Questions. They love questions. And so I just came with one of those things that you can set on your desk. It's a hand that's continually up. Absolutely. It makes a difference. And here, when it comes here, in fact, Jesus said in Matthew, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And the one who seeks, finds. And to one who knocks, it will be open. And when it comes to God, asking questions when you don't understand is a plus, not a negative. Thomas showed great courage and had an inquisitive mind. He had a curiosity for truth. And so he asked in the middle of very confusing things. Now I got to tell you the truth. Not all questions are good, but if a person's seeking truth, those are good questions to ask. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because of the empty tomb, you and I have someone, we have a great tutor, someone that we can go to, and he's going to give us the answers we need. He has written this word of God that maybe you have a copy of. Most people in America have 3 or 4 or 5 at home. And you have this word of God that can guide you into all truth. You have the Holy Spirit that helps you guide you into all truth. You have the church, the word of faith. You have the people of God that can come together and help you understand, help me understand things that sometimes are tough to hear. Oh, God doesn't always answer our questions the way we think. And we don't even always understand his answers. And it is difficult on this side of heaven to understand all these things. But guess what? Here it is again. Because of the resurrected Christ, who was willing to die the innocent for the guilty, put himself on the cross, shed his blood for you and me. His love was so great for you that he was willing to do that, but he didn't remain dead. He rose again, and now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for you. That's the guy you can trust for your problem, your issues, whatever it is. You said, well, I've messed up my life. Well, I got news for you. Get in line. It's a long one. A lot of Christians are in that line, not for their salvations, but for the choices they've made, things that have happened, things they've allowed to come into their life, habits, thoughts, and it's keeping them down from enjoying the power of the resurrection in their life. And the devil just loves it and laughs, says, well, I don't have to mess with that guy. He's scared to death. He's not going to say a word. He's an old Barney Fife. And the Lord Jesus says, no. There's no reason to be scared. You can ask me anything, and you can trust me. So maybe the second scene might read like this. Believe and keep on believing Jesus when you have perplexing questions in life. You say, well, I've gone to a pastor, I've gone to a friend of mine who's a believer, and we don't always get our answers. That is exactly right. We don't always know the answers, but I know one who does know. And when he doesn't always lay it out for you specifically, like, I don't know why my father died. I mean, I know physically why he died. It made that explanation easy. But why so young? Just when the grandkids were getting to that place where they're doing all their music and their sports. That was going to be so much fun. My dad loved those things. Oh, my goodness, my father loved it. He would have been one of those that old poor Dan Armstrong was going to have to drag him out of the gym if somebody found his baby girl. Good luck. Yeah, but he never saw it. My father-in-law, the same thing. He loved music. He loved sports. They were both gone. But guess what? God has a reason, and we had people in this church that became their grandparents. I will always be grateful. In fact, I remember calling up Pastor Bill and Lois saying, okay, we got 4 games in 4 different gyms all over the county. And Don and I are good, but we're not that good. We need some help. And we'd call these people over here. Then we'd have the youth sponsors. They'd go see that game, and Bill would go see that game, and Don would go see that game, and I'd try to go to see that game. That's just the way it is. That's the family of God. And that's how it works. You need to keep on believing when you don't understand all the answers to the questions in life. Keep seeking. Seeking the word of God is truth. And trusting in that resurrected and living Christ. But let's get to the final one, the third scene here in John 20. Here we find, we've already read it, Thomas is skeptical. I'm not throwing a stone. There's been times in my life when I haven't always responded well to things that have happened, and I could be skeptical of the whole thing. And it's usually just because I get my eyes on people and get them off of Jesus. Anyone join that crowd? That's happened to me more than once. You're not alone. It's a typical problem that we have. But Jesus, in love, says, don't disbelieve. Believe. I'm right here. It's okay. And that's exactly what Thomas does. So I want to rephrase this whole thing, this whole bad rap he's gotten of doubting Thomas to believing Thomas. And that God can do that for you. You see, I got a lot of doubts. I got a lot of skeptical things in my head and ideas and things that are keeping me from whatever it is. It might be keeping you from trusting. I'm mad at God. All these things happen. I'm mad at so-and-so that God allowed it to happen. I don't understand why these things happen. And you're looking at all the wrong things when you need to be looking at the resurrected and living God who loved you and gave himself for you. That's what you need to look at. Don't look at me. Look at Jesus, the perfecter of our faith. So this is the pinnacle, this third scene where Thomas is asked and is told to believe. In fact, if you read the passage, it's easy to count. There's 4 of them. That word comes up 4 times. Now, those of you who are students understand that when that's mentioned once, it's important, right? Mentioned twice, okay, we're highlighting it. We got 4 times in a very short passage here that this word believe comes up. The Lord is trying to help us to say this. He understands belief can be hard sometimes. To believe can be tempting not to believe because we can give into fears. And by the way, fears is not necessary. It's not a sin. People might say it's a sin to fear. No, it's a sin to give in and let fear control you. That's where you cross the line. You're allowing those things to happen. I imagine old Barney Fife was scared to death. You know how he grabbed his, does this little thing on his hand? If you didn't see the show, that made no sense to you. All right. And so we have this fear that he just believes then. And because of that, you don't know the rest of the story. Now, this is church tradition, but old Thomas, he did pretty good. He became church planter. Some believe he planted in the areas of India and other things, and he was martyred, and he did exactly what the first scene was. He was willing to do it. That courage never went away. He just got empowered by the Holy Spirit. He got empowered by believing and knowing that Jesus was alive. And because he's alive and he was transformed, I can do all things now through Christ that gives me strength. I have the ability now to face these doubts. I have the ability to face these people or these issues in my life. I don't have to run away and hide and quit. And there's no reason for that. Because Christ lives, I can live also. And so now we have old Thomas is able to do that, and he gets executed, some believe by beheading. But what those who killed him didn't understand was, all he did was go from this world into the presence of God. Perfect peace forevermore. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you haven't done that, that's what you must do. The gospel, the good news of Christ is clear. Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. Why? Because all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of God's standard of perfection. There's nothing that can be done about it. And I'm sorry to tell you this, but not all good people go to heaven. Because the Bible says there is none that are good. No, not one. None of us are good. None of us seek after God. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, we wouldn't even know who God was. But in his great mercy, he revealed himself through his Son, through his Word. And now he says, look, you are sin, you're separated from God. And that means an eternity in hell separated him forever. That's not what it, but the Bible also says his love was so much that he provided a way for you to choose to come out. And that's the best kind of love. Not something that manipulates you or forces you to do what you know you should do. If love doesn't do that. It simply gives you the truth and the opportunity. And God is doing that today. And if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, and I'm not talking about joining the church, I'm not even talking about jumping in these waters, because water will only get you wet. But Jesus will save you from your sins if you trust in him alone. If you haven't done that, don't wait for me to have some kind of invitation. You can do that right now from your heart to God. You can tell him, Lord God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and you raised him from the dead. And I'm trusting, which is another word for belief, trusting in him and him alone. Not my church, not my Bible reading, not my good works, not my baptism. Not my associations. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ, the resurrected and living Lord, as my Savior. Will you do that today? How about you, believer? The Lord's risen for you too, you know, right? Those of you who are in Christ, the Lord's still alive today for you, you know, right? And guess what? He's busted people out of prison, even Christians who want to put themselves there because they walk away from the Lord or they get disturbed, they get upset, they get deceived. And God says, I have risen from that dead. Will you believe in Jesus? Will you trust in him? Not as your Savior. He already is your Savior. But as the one who through his resurrected power can meet you at your deepest need. And you can be like Thomas, because we all have our doubts, so we're going to throw that title away. You could be believing Thomas, who's courageous, who's inquisitive, and who's believing Jesus as he walks in faith. Would you bow with me, please? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Moment, we're going to sing a song here. It's a great song. It's a beautiful song. It might be someone that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to talk with someone, I'll be at the front. Or if you want some prayer, I'll be at the front. Father, I pray even now that as we end our time together here this morning. It's been wonderful. It's been a great service. I just pray, Lord God, that you will now, even now, work in all our hearts as you've worked in mine over this week in preparation, realizing how many different prisons there's been that I can put myself in. And I imagine there's some here that do. Maybe it's pride for some, arrogance. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's hurt. Maybe it's turned to anger. and it's affecting their relationships, the way they think, and that's not what you've called us to do. But who the Lord has set free is set free indeed. We're set free completely, and I pray that they will find that by crying out to you, naming those things, and trusting Christ to help them grow. Now, there might be some here that don't know you as Savior, and I pray that even now that they would trust you and you alone. And for the fact that remains, whether Thomas believed or not, the fact remains that Jesus is alive. And so our belief doesn't change the fact. And I would ask out of your mercy and grace that you would help us through any unbelief, and may the light of Christ and the grace of God that appeared to all men appear once again into their height and their hearts and minds, and they will believe in Jesus as their Savior. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Let's